Welcome to this Friday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and with me is the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. Chuck, yesterday we started a discussion on the differences between our behavior with our money and our belief about our money. And we're going to continue that discussion today, but let's just take a moment before we jump into that and recap what we talked about yesterday.
Well, Dave, I feel strongly that we get it backwards, that we tend to emphasize financial behavior in our culture. Just generally, you can go just about anywhere and people will tell you the steps. But before you take the steps, I think it's important to establish what you believe. Because if you determine what you believe, your behavior will naturally follow. And I think it's so important to make that point that we need to talk about it again today. The Bible says in John 17:17, that we're sanctified, meaning we're set apart as Christians by truth, by what we believe. And then it goes on to say, your word is truth. So we have to know God's word to be set apart and different from the world. Romans 12:2 says that we're not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, what the world thinks, what the world believes, how the world does things, but we're transformed by our behavior. No, by the renewing of our mind, by what we believe. And I think that we have to go deep on that because it's so liberating to accept the truth and allow it to conform our behaviors. And let me give you an example. We talked about in yesterday's program that some people really do believe in luck, and their behavior demonstrates that. How many people in your life, maybe you've just had a time of prayer, and then you're about to depart, and they look at you, pat you on the back, and say, hey, good luck. And I kind of think to myself, do you really believe that? Some people believe that there is such a thing as luck outside of God's providence, that there's just this random chance that is somehow going to guide your life, and some of it may be good, some of it may be bad, but hey, good luck, bad luck, whatever. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Dave, it says right there that God even controls a game of chance. God controls that. That God hasn't set the world in motion where he's not overseeing all of it. And so when we understand God's word, we can be free from such false beliefs as believing in luck, and our behavior will start to conform to his word, which will liberate us.
Well, Chuck, let's keep that discussion going. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money Package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money Package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money Package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and with me is Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And today we're talking about how what you believe about money will determine how you behave with your money. And Chuck, let's dive into Scripture for our basis for this, because that's really the handbook for all that we do.
Dave, my premise for this broadcast is to firmly establish what you believe about money. That way, your behaviors will follow suit. And we gave some examples in yesterday's program, but I want to give you a couple more, because so often we get it out of order. And I think that causes frustration. You hear maybe somebody teach a principle, somebody say, this is God's will, and you listen to it and you think, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure I'm going to do that. And you kind of weigh it in the scale of, maybe that'll be good, maybe that'd be bad. Well, you're trying to decide if you believe it. Let me give you this example that I think illustrates a point about giving. Now, you can hear sermons about giving all day long. And the question is, are you going to give because you just think you ought to behave that way, or because you believe what God said is true? Because if you believe what God said is true, giving is like breathing. It's normal. It's what we get the privilege of doing. I had a friend, and he told this story about his own life that I've never forgotten because it illustrates the point I want to make. He was a new believer in college. And Dave, as soon as he became a Christian, he started to read God's Word, and he loved it. He had never read it before in his life, and he just began to absorb it. And some of it was totally contrary to the philosophies that he had been raised with. But he began to think, you know, God, if you are God, things in your kingdom, your domain, are different than what I've been taught. But I want to actually believe it and apply it to my life. Well, here he is, a starving college student. He's got to run out and pick up a prescription. And as he's getting out of his car to go into the pharmacy, he looks down, and between his front tire of his car and the curb, there's a little envelope wedged in there. He reaches down, picks it up, and lo and behold, it's full of cash. And I don't remember the exact amount, and this was many years ago, but I think it was $5,000 to $7,000 in cash. And he thought to himself immediately, he said, God put a verse that he had just memorized in his mind, and he looked at that cash, and the verse, the Word of God, came to his mind, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And he was absolutely sure that he had just memorized that in the book of Proverbs somewhere. And Dave, isn't that so true?
Yeah.
Because if that's really what you believe, and by the way, I was raised with that one too. It's not true. It's, by the way, for those of you who don't know, it's not a proverb. But his behavior would have normally followed suit with what he believed. It would have gone in his pocket, and he would have gone home, praise the Lord for providing for a starving college student. And then he said, but I actually remembered the verse I just read. He read from Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that began to work on him. And he thought, I didn't really believe that because it seems kind of backwards, you know. It's more blessed to get than to give. But maybe the Lord's trying to teach me something. So I looked at, he says he looked down at this envelope and there's a little name drawn in pencil on it. And he thought, oh, no, you know, now there's a name on it. I've got to do something with this. And he thought, well, maybe this person isn't a real person. Maybe they're not even alive. So he went back, and this was before mobile phones, and he was just being honest, and we would be too.
Sure.
And before mobile phones and internet, he got out the telephone book, looked it up, and there was a name. So he just couldn't leave it alone, got in his car, drove over to this house. He said it was a very, very humble, simple neighborhood, a white wood frame house, very small. And when he pulled into the driveway, the front door opened to that house. A little elderly lady stood on the front porch. She had tears already coming down her face. She pointed at him as he got out of his car, and she said, young man, you have my money, don't you? He said, well, yes, ma'am, I do. And she said, young man, you're a Christian, aren't you? He said, well, yes, I am. She said, you want to know how I know? That's the only money that we have in this world. I'd saved it for the down payment on my husband's cataract surgery. And it fell out of my purse going to the pharmacy to get his prescription. And ever since I dropped it, I've been home on my knees asking God that a Christian would pick up that money, because only a Christian would find me and return it to me. And she wept in his arms. Now, Dave, he said immediately when he handed her that money back, God reminded him of the verse, it is better to give than to receive. And he said he's never forgotten the joy of giving, because God illustrated what could he have done with that money that would have given him more joy than the privilege of returning it to its rightful owner. And that's what giving should do for us, to allow us to feel the privilege that God's word is true, and that we should believe that every single time we give, not just the behavior. Because I even said, I watched one of my children put money in the plate and want to take it back out. And we feel those things, and we worry about those kind of decisions. But when we truly believe what God said, I think, Dave, that the widow was the example that God wanted us to learn from in the Scripture. He didn't point to a wealthy person and say, disciples, come here and look how big the zeros are at the end of this check. This is a whopper gift to the kingdom of God. What he said was, come over here and look at this widow, because she believes me. She believes me so much that she can give everything she has. She's not giving a little out of her savings. She's not giving her 401k. She's not giving a little bit of her grocery money that week. The Lord said she is willing to give all that she has, which means she believed him. And that was the act of faith that demonstrated that he was real in her heart. And that's what he wants all of us to experience.
You know, Chuck, it's so comforting to know that it doesn't require that we have a theological degree or know all the biblical principles, but that we have God's word lodged in our heart and we have a desire to hear from his Spirit.
You know, Dave, I say it all the time, but God is not a financial principle. You don't put your trust in the principle. You put your trust in the God of the principle.
Well, how do we help people make that transition from information to belief?
Dave, I think one of the best ways is to get in the Crown Bible study. It's what God used to change my heart and mind. It's what God will use to change your mind. It will go thoroughly through all the Scripture of what God says we need to believe about money. And I believe it's the exact foundation you need at this time.
Well, you can find out about a Crown Bible study in your area by going to crown.org and clicking on the In My Area button on our homepage. We'll take a short break and be right back. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth that'll last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And today we're continuing our discussion about money. What we believe about money will eventually and ultimately determine how we behave with our money.
Dave, I've been reflecting upon why I feel so strongly about this message. And I think it's because it became so personal to me. If you were to look at me 9 years ago, on the outside, I was doing everything that you probably thought a Christian should do. I had Christian behavior. I had fairly good financial behavior. I really didn't think I needed to know anything that the Lord said about money. In fact, I remember when my wife Ann wanted me to get into the Crown Small Group Study, I said, why? And she said, well, so you can learn more about managing money. And I said, well, I can take a grad school course or something if you don't think I know what I'm doing. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get that knowledge and information. And it's amazing to me. I look back and I think I put the wisdom of the world on the same plane as the wisdom of God. And I'm convicted by that, Dave. I'm sorry that I lived a lot of my life that way. But God opened my eyes to believe his word, and it transformed me in the dark, in a very private recess of my heart. There was a chamber where God could not get in. And I remember I opened that chamber, and it was the chamber that I would call the money chamber. Everything, you know, God could have 10%, but at least 90% was mine. In fact, I used to say God had 10% of everything that I had, and the other 120% was mine. You know, I was going to leverage my 90 to eclipse, you know, to make up for that 10%. But that was my heart attitude. But the Lord broke me with his word, Dave. And I was transformed because I began to believe his word. and it penetrated deep into my heart, and my behavior started to change and to align with His Word.
You know, Chuck, I want to stop here because I think it's an important reality of your transformation was not a change in even intellectual understanding of financial principles or doing things differently. It was the understanding of Scripture, of God's truth in its entirety that began to transform you.
It actually showed me, Dave, that I didn't believe the full counsel of God's Word. I was aware of it, but I didn't truly believe it. Hmm. And as I began to believe it, I began to be changed. I'm a different person than the man I was 9 years ago, radically different. The ambitions of my life, the drive, the way I use my energy, the things that I dwell upon, the things that I want to accomplish in my life are no longer centered around financial goals. Mm. Financial goals are simply a tool, not the object of my life. And that's only God's Word could have done that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to get out of that dilemma. It seemed like all the inertia of the world said, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. You know, be set apart by the way you manage money. No, the Lord said, be sanctified by His Word, not by how you manage money. The world says, be set apart by what you have. God's Word doesn't say that. God's Word says, be set apart by whether or not you're faithful to me. We're judged on one issue. Were you faithful or unfaithful to God? And I began to see that. And this simple verse, Psalm 24:1, says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. So you could hear that. And it could sound like sing-song. It could sound like a nursery rhyme. And I think there was a day, and I have to admit, that I'd been maybe so exposed to the Word that my heart was no longer open to it. But I looked at that and I said, well, then I'm basically laying claim to something that is really not mine. All this effort to have more is wrong. Now, it's not that I wanted to become lazy or be less diligent or to be indifferent about financial goals. Don't get me wrong. But the purpose of it completely changed because the Lord owns everything. And He owns me. He said, all who live in it. I'm under His rule, His domain, His kingdom. And Dave, I taught the basics of understanding God's financial principles in Taiwan. And I was speaking through a translator. And as I was speaking, there were, I think, 800 people in the room. And I'm not real dynamic, but I was teaching these truths, and the translator was saying them in the same tone that I speak. And while I'm speaking, there's a man who starts to cry. And I can see him. He's not too far from the front, and I can watch him. And I thought he was thinking about something else, honestly, that he wasn't thinking about what I was saying. But he began to cry, and he wept. And I was able to teach through the whole lesson about what God says about money, starting with Psalm 24:1. The earth's the Lord's, and everything in it, even you. After I finished that sermon, I was taken by the pastor to the airport, and he got a call on his mobile phone from one of the elders of the church. And they were talking back and forth and giving a report on that man who was weeping so openly in the service because other people were not weeping. And here was his story. He was a peasant that had wandered in from a rural area. He had saved his money to invest in a deal that he thought would benefit and bless his family and give him a return because of their financial needs. And he got swindled. In fact, the person he met took the money and fled. He was left destitute and in shame and did not know how to get back home or really want to go home. He wandered into this church in a shopping mall. He heard there was a God who owned everything, and he said to himself instantly, if God owns everything, then I've lost nothing. Hmm. Dave, he figured that out instantly. If God owns everything, then I've lost nothing, and He owns me, and He'll take care of me. And he began to weep out of joy. And when the plate was passed, that man took the buttons off of the shirt that he had on and put them in the offering plate and said it was his joy to give to that God anything that he had. And that's all he had left in the world.
Chuck, I have to step in here. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, when we went into the break, you had just finished a very powerful story about teaching God's financial principles in Taiwan. And I felt like there might have been a postscript to that story.
We ran out of time there, Dave. The clock is kind of our my enemy at times as we do this broadcast. But that man not only was humbled in heart by the Word of God, he acted upon it. By faith, instantly, Dave, he went from a receiver of the grace and kind message of God to a giver in a span that lasted less than 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. He believed God's word, and it changed his behavior. He went from one worried about what he was going to get in this world to one who was willing to give everything. It was almost as if I saw the widow and her mite reenacted in front of my very eyes by the power of God's word. Now, there was the rest of the story. These brothers came around this man and said, there is a way to know who this God is who owns everything. And they introduced him to Jesus Christ. And then they said, can we take you home? Can we put some money in your pocket? Can we help you transition back into your family to take away the sting and the shame? And in an instant, Dave, that man was restored by the body of Christ. I can't think of anything more powerful than the power of God, Dave. And so I've dedicated my life to helping people understand that we have a living God who meets us at our point of need. And we're talking to a lot of people today who are worried about what they're going to lose. But according to what God says, we can't lose anything. It's all His. We never had it. We only have a temporary time on earth to steward it for His glory and His purposes. And the burning desire of my heart is that that chamber in the hearts of our listeners is wide open to the Lord. And they say, this God we serve is superior to anything that could ever pass through my hands. Nothing is superior to knowing and loving and being faithful to the Lord God Almighty. That's why I think it's so important that you establish firmly what you believe, and then all your behaviors will orient around the Lord, not around money. And that's the transformation that I think God wants every one of His followers to understand. And I can't quit talking about it, Dave.
Well, Chuck, that's a great story, and it's a great passion to give your life to. And we're just so grateful that we're a part of that journey together.
I'm grateful you are too, Dave, and I pray that this helps our listeners today and encourages their heart.
Well, if you joined us late in the program today, I'd encourage you to go to crown.org, and you can hear this program again 24 hours a day, and it's in its entirety there at crown.org. Well, that wraps up another week of Money Life. For Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.